How's everybody doing today? Welcome back to another episode of The Banker Next Door. I'm your host, Dr. Joe Berquist. Today, I wanted to talk about something that's very, very important, and that is health insurance. And I have brought on a very special guest to have this discussion with. Mr. Brian Nestor, the owner of Nestor Insurance, has been kind enough to come on and spend a little time with us today to discuss health insurance and how we might be able to do some things to help you and your company or your employees. And with that, I'm going to bring in Mr. Nestor. How are we doing today, Brian?
Doing well, Joe. How are you doing today?
Great. Hey, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you taking the time to be on here today. And I guess we could just kick it off. Maybe could you just tell us a little bit about like what's happening in the healthcare space today? Anything bubbling up or any kind of hot button issues at the moment?
No, absolutely. Listen, I appreciate you having me on the show. I can tell you that the big word of the day is compliance. Compliance is plaguing every single business from two people all the way to, 500, and it's not stopping anytime soon. So that's the big key right now, plus obviously rising costs. So that's where we're at.
Let me ask you. So like you in the health insurance business, you guys have kind of like a seasonality, right? You guys have like kind of a renewal season. So like, is this the kind of quieter time of year for you, or are you guys busy? How does that work?
Sure. No, it's a great question. Actually, each company can actually set up their own plan year. So for us, we do have plan year renewals every single month. But typically, the higher seasons are actually now till July 1st, meaning from April to July 1st, and then in the fall during October, November, December, and of course, January 1.
So we'll probably get into this a little bit more in a few minutes, but so if somebody is either needs a health insurance plan for their business or they're maybe looking to switch or whatever, like what's a good time of year for them to start thinking about that?
Sure. So if there's currently no health insurance benefits whatsoever, they actually can start at any given month because there's no limitation of doing so. Unlike individual insurance, there's a time period or special election periods that you have to kind of qualify to actually enroll during a year. Group health plans, you can set up at any given first of the month most times. And even some carriers will let you do 15 of the month. So that's not a problem. If you're currently with a health plan right now, usually 60 to 90 days is very typical to start looking at that, especially if you don't want to make any mid-year changes. But that's typically your time frame in which you would start.
Okay, very interesting. So, and I guess, so let's switch gears a little bit here for a second. So I want to talk about, when you think about the expenses of running a company, traditionally wages, the wages for your employees are always your number one expense. But coming in a very not too distant second is health insurance. And you see a lot of articles all over the place right now with, a lot of particularly small businesses. I would classify that as companies with probably 10 or less employees really struggle to find a way to afford or be able to purchase health insurance for their employees. Do you have any thoughts or just general comments on that, or maybe any suggestions for if somebody's trying to deal with that?
Absolutely. I mean, right now, the big thing for smaller companies, 10 or less employees, you really have two major options that we usually implement. Either that's a fully insured plan, which bases everyone's age is what the rates are determined, or you do something what's called level funded self-insured plans. Now, most companies that are small do get a little bit wary about self-insuring themselves, in case they have a big claim. But a lot of those products are there to protect them from large claims as their employees or as a company. So the risk factor is not as high in that regard. You do have some more compliance items that go with self-insured plans, but if they have not looked at a self-insured plan as a small company, it may be the best way to start to actually determine whether they're actually paying too much for their insurance or to help maybe potentially get a little bit of rate reduction if, of course, they have employees that qualify for that type of plan.
You bring up a great point there about, like, what would you consider a large claim? Like 10,000, 100,000, like a million? Like what would constitute a large claim?
So it is dependent on the person for sure. But a large claim, typically, if you're talking about anything over $100,000, would be considered a large claim for a lot of small companies. And really having to come up with $100,000 is what scares people the most about being self-insured. Sure. So more or less, I mean, if you're ever going to be self-insured as a company, you just need to make sure you follow your eligibilities, for your new employees. Very succinct. You have to be very cautious to make sure you follow them to the T, per se, because you can't have somebody be enrolled whenever you feel like it. And that's where some companies get in trouble, because in self-insured plans, there's companies that get in trouble for enrolling somebody when they're not supposed to, and then large claims come in.
Okay. Okay. Any thoughts or suggestions for slightly larger companies? Like, if we start, if you had to give some thoughts on, you know, say a company up to 50 employees, a company up to 100, or maybe more than 100, what would be your thoughts on different size companies?
Sure. This comes up a lot right now, because since, we'll say, the last 4 years, there are companies that have exploded with employees, but yet they haven't built the infrastructure to handle those different types of growth, and including in benefits. So what I would typically tell a company that has 50 or more employees, one is make sure all your basic compliance items are being met. ERISA compliance, COBRA compliance, ACA reporting compliance. Those are the three most commonly compliance items that are missed with the reviews we typically do. If you're over 100 employees, your biggest thing is trying to help with claim mitigation. Having to make sure that everything's being reviewed in a more quarterly basis, so you actually see where your claims are at, is really what I can suggest to help a company that is really trying to mitigate their claims exposure.
Now, how do they help with that? Like, in other words, if you're signed up with an insurance provider, do they have websites or portals, like things that can help you kind of manage that process, in terms of, like, say you have 100 employees? Do they just have tools that can help you manage all that?
Typically, yes. Some of it does fall onto the insurance company, and some of it does determine on enrollment tools that maybe the broker provides. Like, for instance, we do provide online enrollment platforms for all our larger clients, and we do have it for some of our smaller clients as well who need it or want it, if for instance, they have multiple state employees. And it does help create data that helps them do reporting a lot quicker, faster, and more accurately throughout the year. That is the biggest, differentiator that we do to help clients with that. But that's really the best tool I can tell you to help with those kind of deals.
Nice. And any suggestions or any comments or thoughts on larger companies? Say we're talking about 250 employees plus. Let's go that larger end of the scale.
Absolutely. So if you have 250 employees or more, so some of the things that we do is we look at, let's say, consortium insurance, captives, and not every broker has familiarity with those type of, outlets for different companies. So those will be the first way to start, as well as if you're, say, 500 employees or more, you may look at carving out some of your benefits and just see if there's better options for instance, prescription drug coverage. That is really the most common situation where we see savings for companies of that size. And then we just kind of help help facilitate all those different transactions, help make sure they all get taken care of. So,
okay, very, very good. Very interesting. Are there any other programs or anything right now that you would like to highlight or mention? Anything that you think is worth sharing at the moment?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, kind of going back to a little bit, if a company has not looked at being level funded, self-insured with, say, insurance care, I think this is the right time to do so. If they haven't shopped really not just their medical insurance, but all their benefits, dental, vision, short-term, long-term life, typically we see those benefits most times be very stale when quoting for most brokers, and we kind of come in there and help them find additional savings on top of everything else that we do. So I would say those are some key differentiators and key moments that I think can make a big difference for the bottom line for most companies.
Great. Excellent. Excellent. All right. So let's switch gears again for a second here. So I'll put it to you this way, Brian. So I have done over the years a lot of advocacy in the banking business, being a part of a number of different like state banking associations. And there's all, as heavily regulated as banking is, we always have, there's always some kind of legislative or, regulatory hot button issue or something going on right now. Do you do anything like that in your industry? Like, have you ever gotten involved in any kind of legislative thing, or are there any things on the horizon right now that maybe you'd like to bring awareness to, or things that you're pushing for in your industry, anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, in our industry, the biggest issues that we see right now is the additional, let's say, filings that are coming from the government. The DCRX reporting has just come out, and this is something that your viewers should know. that every client that actually currently has group health insurance most likely has received some survey from their insurance carrier to file this report or file the survey so they can file the report on their behalf. So one of the biggest things, you know, yeah, we know that prescription drug costs is really what it's really centered around. It's really one of the biggest issues we have right now. As you know, there are new injectables that are very expensive. And that is really the hot topic in our industry right now is like, what do we do with all these high claim, prescription drug costs every single month? And I can tell you one thing that we do to kind of help clients as well and try to really help our people is that don't just look at just the cost of the health plan, but also look for factory discount programs through your manufacturer of the prescriptions you're looking for. If you're a large employer, you may want to carve out some of those prescriptions and work with the rebates of different manufacturers to help kind of facilitate those or to help eliminate or lower those costs. Because in the end, that's our big hot topic is what do we do with prescription costs right now?
Interesting. No, very interesting. No, again, I think this is all great information. I think anybody, who would be looking at this interview right now, I think they'd be finding some very good information out of this at the moment. So, I'm just trying to cover everything before we kind of go on to some of our other questions here. So, any other thoughts just on maybe the mechanics of this, like anything in general with, applying for health insurance or just maybe some things that companies should have ready to go, as they're getting ready to either switch carriers or apply for insurance for the first time, that kind of thing.
I think you kind of said at the beginning of the interview, really kind of suggested, what kind of myths are out in our industry? I will tell you the most common myth that we see is that if I buy direct, I'm going to save money on my health insurance. And unfortunately, this doesn't work in our industry. When you're working with a broker, you're actually really buying a service model. You're not buying an insurance plan. So most times employers don't know that, or even some HR professionals don't know that because it's just not something they think about because we have certain companies that are much bigger that have a model that says, I want to buy this. I want to buy it now at a discount. And I'm sure you know which company we're talking about. So my big thing is that in our industry is that, it's really about not just the tools you're receiving, but it's a service not just for you, but also your employers or your employees themselves. Most people don't realize this. And I think this is really something that is very important. I like to put myself in position to help my company's benefits dollars that they spend go farthest with their employees. If you're going to make it the number two spend in your company, you need somebody who's going to not just appreciate the money you're spending, but also appreciate the fact that your employees also need these items and they need somebody to help them make decisions. It's not easy. It's a different language for most people. And I think that we do that better than anyone else. And that's make sure that people not only know what they're buying, but they're not buying either too much or too little. They know exactly that I need help with this. And they have somebody who's an advocate for both the employer and the employee at both sides with no problems.
Nice. Oh, that's perfect. Perfect. So with that, let's switch gears for a second here. I want to actually talk to you a little bit about, so how did you get into this business? What, I don't know that as a kid, you probably saw yourself maybe doing this every day, but how did you end up here?
Joe, obviously, since I was 2 years old, I was just thinking, man, can I be an insurance broker? That was exactly it. Obviously, I kid. I mean, I'm like most in our industry. I kind of fell into it by luck. I grew up originally in Ohio, and I moved out here, a while ago, with my, now wife. And I just found the insurance industry. And what I found interesting about it is that it was very similar to the vending business, which is what my family used to do. So we're talking about all those toy cranes with the coin-operated machines, except it wasn't dealing with big, heavy machinery. It was dealing with paperwork. And paperwork was just a lot easier to work with, I think. And I just thought the model made sense. And, that was 17 years ago, give or take. And I am here now with 6 employees operating in, 3 or 4 states, and we're trying to make it, make a difference for a lot of people. So
I love it. Great stuff, man. Okay. So this is the time of the interview I like to ask a couple of my favorite questions here. So I got two questions for you. Do you have a favorite business book, and do you have a favorite business related movie?
So favorite book, I do love Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I mean, that's probably my favorite book. I just, you know, I read that, probably 15 years ago. I still read it, you know, every, you know, so many years, just because I think it's a good story. It actually reminds me of my father a lot, to be honest with you. And you know, it really was a person that just, you know, believed in just making sure you did the right things and good things will happen. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, it's just a good story. I mean, if you haven't read it, obviously, I mean, it's probably a classic, I think, in the business world. But it's a good story, and it's I enjoy that one a lot. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so I did a Easter special a few weeks ago, and I did it on personal finance. It was kind of like in the Easter spirit of revitalization, rejuvenation, resurrection, all that. I basically said, hey, let's look at your personal finances. Like, and if you haven't looked at them recently, maybe it's a good time. And I recommended a whole bunch of books to read. And one of the ones I recommended was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. But one of the things I pointed out was the fact that I said, it's not, people always talk about the first book, but it's actually a trilogy, because he actually has the cash flow quadrant and he has the Rich Dad Guide to Investing. And I just talk about how you really should read all three of those books together, because he actually wrote them like that. And I just pointed that out because, like, you know, nobody ever really talks about it like that. Everybody just talks about, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, because that's the most famous book. It's the one he's most well known for. But I always tell people, like, you really should read that trilogy, because he wrote it like that. And if you read the whole thing, it's a complete story from front to end, if you read all three of the books together. And but again, to echo your thoughts, though, it is a great story. And there are certain philosophies, and I always credit that book for helping me just think differently about a lot of stuff. You know, just looking, you know, is your house, you know, your house is an asset. Is it really an asset? You know, in other words, it's not paying you money. All it does is take money from you. So again, you could debate these things, but I think the best part about it is the book just, it causes you to think about things. It causes you to question certain things, think about certain things in a different way. And that's what I love about it. That's what I love about the book. And that's why I agree with you. I think it's such a great recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Business movie. So I will say The Big Short is actually probably my favorite, say, business related movies. Not just because the screenplay and the way they deliver the movie was so impactful, but obviously that was a story about people who saw things that no one else saw. And actually not just saw them, acted even in the face of adversity and rose beyond that I think most people could even imagine. The one, obviously, the sad part of that movie is that you kind of realize what it takes to make money sometimes is not most favorable, and that could be your closest friends and family. And I will say, though, just the story of those people that are actually just brilliant people who actually can foresee something that no one else can see is always inspiring to me, because I find that, you know, I hope that one day I'll find and determine something that I see is really, you know, what it should be. And some people, you know, whatever. Yeah.
It's so funny, because as my interviews are starting to pile up here a little bit, I think you're the fourth interviewee I've had in the last, like, you know, month or so. That everybody loves The Big Short. That's like everybody's favorite movie, which is great. It's a great movie, and I always say that I think the magic of that movie is that they took an incredibly complex subject and they brought it down to a level of that anybody could understand it. Anybody, doesn't matter. You could know absolutely nothing about finance. You could watch that movie and you could understand exactly what was going on, exactly what was happening. And I think that was what was so special about that movie, and what was such a great job, such a great thing. And I'll just point out, there's one scene in that movie that always stuck with me. And that was Brad Pitt kind of takes these couple of younger guys under his wing, and they kind of hit it big toward the end, and they short all these stocks, and it's like, oh yeah. And they're like, oh yeah, we're rich. And Brad Pitt stops them and basically says, listen, Like no celebration, like no celebration, like because he goes, you got to understand there's somebody on the other end of that trade, and the person on the other end of that trade is losing their house. They're losing their job.
Yep.
They're losing something. And that was such a great moment because it just gives you that perspective that like, yeah, they're, you know, hey, if there's somebody's winning, somebody's losing. And if somebody's losing, it could be a catastrophic loss and not just something, not just losing a little bit of money on a stock, you know? So it's such a great movie and it has a lot of great, powerful moments in it. So, yeah. So no, I love it.
You want to know one other movie that's one of my favorites too? Cause I think it's even, I love Trading Places.
Oh yeah.
that, if you were talking about like, you know, like just a, like, is that, cause it doubles as like a holiday movie and a business movie. And
yes.
It's awesome. I mean, really
looking good. Looking good, Billy Ray.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, you talk about a story. Like, it's funny, and I don't know. It's because you know, like you're banking, and I'm in insurance. Where it's like it's kind of funny, like because you said that most people picked The Big Short. I'm like wondering, like, well, that probably was the most popular banking movie that's actually come out in the last 10 years so far.
Yeah,
and you know, I mean, obviously you have The Wolf of Wall Street. That came out as well. That was also very popular, but that was more of like stocks and almost like a Bernie Madoff kind of, you know, storyline almost. I mean, obviously not exact, but you know, they do some things that, you know, SEC's like, I don't know what this one. But I just think it's cool. I mean, there's a lot of good movies out there, but you know, you always want to, and even that movie is about the same thing. It really is. They saw something no one else saw. I mean, obviously they had insider information said that it wasn't the same, but It's still a fun movie though.
Well, I would also say I'll kind of end this with this is that if you haven't seen the BlackBerry movie or if you haven't seen Dumb Money yet, both of those movies are fantastic, absolutely fantastic. I highly recommend them. They just both those movies came out in the last year and they're both great. They're very very entertaining, have very funny parts, really great kind of messaging in the movies. And really well done. Both movies, very well done. Great cast, great actors. Yeah, really, really good.
I did see the BlackBerry movie. That definitely was awesome. Saw it on a plane ride. I'm like, oh, what's this? I'm like, I'll check this one out. And I actually remember having the BlackBerry Bold.
Yeah.
Like, I remember having it. I'm like, man, this phone's terrible. This is the worst phone I've ever seen. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah, it was. Oh no, all those BlackBerry memories came back when I was watching that movie, playing with the keyboard. Oh yeah, the clicking, everything. Yeah. Oh
great,
yeah.
Great. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, it was a great time. Great time.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so all right. So to wrap up, Brian, if anybody wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that?
You can call me at my office at any time, 484-390-5312. You can email me at any time as well. Just be Nestor, N-E-S-T-E-R, at nestorinsurance.com. And we'll happily help you with any questions, concerns you have for you or your family.
And just so everybody knows, I will put a link to Brian's website in the description below. So make sure to click on that and go check him out at Nestor Insurance. And I thank you so much for coming on today, Brian. I really appreciate you taking the time. And I definitely hope you'll come back and join us again.
I really appreciate you. Same here. It was a great time. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, man. All right, everybody. Well, that was Brian Nestor from Nestor Insurance, who was kind enough to come on and share a little bit of time with us and talk to us about the health insurance industry and what's going on today. And hopefully, if you own a small business out there, that this was a very helpful video for you. Hopefully, you got some good tips and good pointers out there. So, and I would just remind everybody that we are on YouTube Rumble and all major podcast platforms. Please make sure to go check out the bankernextdoor.com. Check out some of the other videos that I posted. And if you like this video today, please make sure to like, share, and subscribe. That always helps the channel. And I will be back again real soon with more interviews and hard-hitting content as always. Have a great day. See ya.